Is that your prayer this morning? Amen. All right. Hey, it is a beautiful weekend, isn't it? All of the, you know, it's not going to rain, but then it kind of rained anyway. And that's all right, because, you know, it was nice. It kept the temperature down. It was comfortable. Welcome, everybody, again to Leaf River Baptist Church. I'm so excited you guys are all here. Right now, we get to welcome our kids to go back to their most amazing teacher, that they get to go and experience something fantastic as we continue our series called Be the Church. Right now, we also want to welcome those of you that are joining us online, that you have decided to be a part of our extended spiritual family this morning. Thank you for taking your time out of your day there. And for those of us that are here this morning, praise the Lord that you're here this morning. It is so good. I cannot tell you guys how genuinely, it is such an honor to be here every morning and or every Sunday morning and get to be with you guys and get to see everybody and get to catch up on the week with you and just look at God's word with you. It is an honor that you guys have chosen to come together as a family. And so from my perspective, at least, every Sunday morning is a family reunion. We're home, right? Does anybody else feel that way? Because you guys are like half asleep right now, I think. And I haven't even started. I mean, you guys are going to be snoozing before long. Anyway, like I said, it's a beautiful day to get to come together, to get to be in the presence of the Lord, to get to be in the presence of our spiritual family as we are designed to do. I love getting to come together every Sunday morning. There's the amen. Yeah, that's right. Here's the thing. And, you know, we get to come together every Sunday morning, right? We get to do this. It's not like going to work where you have to or you don't get paid. It's not like going to a middle school band concert where you're holding your ears. Like, we get to actually come together and worship. Do you guys feel that excitement about Sunday mornings? Or are you kind of walking in like, all right, well, it's Sunday. I guess that's what we got to do. It's different perspectives, right? And some people would have the perspective of, well, it's Sunday. I guess that's what we're supposed to do. And maybe your spouse or your kids or your parents drug you here today and you're very much feeling like, I really just wanted to sleep. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but Sunday morning is just such a phenomenal time for us to get to come together and worship and pray. As a matter of fact, I've said this, and maybe some of you know it, maybe some of you don't. Every Sunday morning, I get to be together with a small group of guys, and we pray. And we pray about what's happening in here, and we pray about what's happening out there, and we pray, if we know of specific things going on in your life, we pray for you and your situation, and we pray specifically, they pray for me, and they pray that I'm able to communicate the way that God has required me to communicate this morning. They pray that my words will be removed from this entire conversation, and that God's words will just kind of come out. So here's the deal. If I say something stupid, that's me. If I say something profound, that's God. Okay? Let's just clarify that. You know, last week we got to go to the park, didn't we? And we had some of the best pulled pork that you guys have had, at least in quite a while. We had Marcus, our resident barbecue-er. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. But he made us some great things. He taught me some stuff so I can pretend to cook. Nowhere near as good, but hey, I learned something. But have you ever just sat back and really contemplated what a blessing it is that we get to come together on a Sunday morning? Like, whenever you want to, you can be here, right? Like, there's nothing holding us back, except maybe for you, like if you just don't feel like waking up that particular morning, but there's nothing in this world holding us back. It's not like other parts of the world, right? There are parts of the world where this is not allowed. Quite frankly, there will be a day when this is not allowed here. And so why wouldn't we enjoy it, right? Let's come together, let's be together, and let's appreciate the freedom that we have to worship together every single Sunday morning. I know sometimes you're like, well, if I miss one Sunday, it's no big deal. There's always next Sunday. But Sunday isn't just a thing we're supposed to do. Sunday is the day that we're focused, the day that we get to join together and worship the Creator, King, Son of God that sacrificed His life for you and me. That's what Sunday is. Sunday isn't just about some snacks that we get out there, which are usually pretty good. But Sunday is something so much bigger than that. Now, there is, of course, a little disadvantage to the reality that we get to be together. And like I said, that's because we can have the perspective of, well, if I miss one Sunday, it's not that big of a deal. But that's just a mental perspective, right? That's just a you thing. That's a me thing. Now, we can have that perspective, and quite frankly, we kind of experienced that perspective back in 2020, didn't we? Like, we had 3 months where we weren't meeting in person because we didn't have the understanding of things. And so for 3 months, we weren't meeting in person. And we were all online, and that was great. I'm so glad we had the technology that allowed for that. But when we came back, it was kind of hard for some people to come back, right? Like, I don't know if this is you, but I know that there were quite a few people that I talked with nationally that said that their churches, people just weren't coming back to church because they were so comfortable sitting on that couch, right? As a matter of fact, we had one family here came to me the day that they came back, and they said something to the effect of, Pastor Billy, we had to come back because last week we realized how comfortable on the couch we really were. And so we knew it's time to go back and experience family again, right? Some churches even, I thought this was crazy and interesting, but some churches even removed whole sections of their chairs and put couches in so that way you would feel like you're still at home. That's cute, right? That's fun. And they encouraged you to come to church in your pajamas. Hey, you know what? If that gets a non-Christian to come to church, fantastic. But those of us that are Christian, what are we waiting on, right? Like, That's what we do. We're with our family. You don't neglect being together with your family. You love your family. You want to catch up with your family, right? Anyway, I gotta catch up with myself here. I want to share something with you. I want to share something with you this morning that as I was reading and studying and some things that really kind of hit me. Back in the 90s, okay? Back in the 90s, it was pretty normal for a normal church attender, for a Christian that is active in their church, to attend 3 times a week, right? You had Sunday morning, you had Sunday night, and you had Wednesday night. Like, that was normal. That was like almost the bare minimum, okay? And then things began to change in, let's say, probably the 2000s or so, and it kind of started to turn into twice a week, right? And people started having things going on. Schools began to ramp up activities through the week, so it was hard for parents to come to church during the week. And so it kind of became twice a week. And then things even changed further, and it came down to once a week, and churches were just eliminating everything else. There was nothing but Sunday morning worship because nobody else was attending anything else. Now, mind you, back in the 90s, it was almost unheard of that you wouldn't go to church. Like, that was just normal culturally. Like, everybody was a Christian and everybody went to church. Well, times have changed. And like I said, then it came down probably about 2010-ish Then people were attending once a week, or once a week, and that was all. And then around 2015, it kind of changed again, and it changed to every other week. Like an active, solid Christian would attend church every other week, twice a month. That was considered a solid, normal Christian, right? And then things went even further. And things kind of changed to maybe once every 3 weeks. And then the quarantine time of 2020, the COVID, the pandemic, that changed everything, right? And that like cemented once every 3 to 4 weeks is an active Christian in the U.S. Isn't that sad to realize that just 25, 30 years ago, 3 times a week was normal, and now once a month? That's a major decline in church attendance, right? That's a major shift from what things used to be. And maybe some of you here would relate to this, and maybe some of you online would relate to, it's difficult sometimes to get up and to go, right? Because there has to be this internal motivation to just get up and go, and so sometimes it's hard. But the reality is that every post-COVID, every 3 to 4 weeks, is the average church attender. Now, that as a pastor, obviously, that breaks my heart. Breaks my heart not just because I want people to hear me ramble. Breaks my heart because I actually believe that when we're together as a family, then we grow together, and this bond that we're able to experience as a family is strengthened, and we grow together, not just in our relationships with each other, but we grow together in our relationship with the Lord. And it's so important. Now, I'm pretty sure we would all agree that this is a sad reality that we live in. I'm pretty sure every single one of us in this room, those of you even online, you would say, man, that is such a sad reality. But we would also defend the reasons why we can't come. Man, it's such a sad reality, but Pastor Billy, you don't understand. I've got this and this and this and this and this, and I just can't make it, right? We would defend the reasons that we don't prioritize worshiping together. Now, I know that's potentially a little bit offensive, what I just said, right? And you might say, Pastor Billy, I can't join more because I work. I have to work. Like, I have to put food on the table. And listen, those of you that are working jobs that you actually have to work on a Sunday morning in order to provide for your family, praise the Lord that you have a job and you have a position where you can do that. But, and that may be legitimate, but I want to ask you, are you choosing work over worship? In other words, are there other options for you? Are there alternatives for you? And maybe there's not. You know, this is between you and God. I'm just putting the question out there. Are you choosing work over worship? Are you choosing the park? It's a beautiful day. Are you choosing the park over worship? Listen, I'm not talking about the occasional, like, occasional vacation and you're out of town and you're sick or something like that. I'm talking about what you choose to prioritize. That's what I'm talking about. It's really easy for us to say. And listen, I've talked with a lot of people over the years, and they would say something to the effect of, Billy, you don't understand. It was really beautiful out. We just wanted to get in one last weekend of camping because it was so beautiful. Now, mind you, they've had every other weekend in the summer camping already. We just need one more. Are you prioritizing that over worship? Man, Billy, it's just that the Cubs are playing on Sunday. I don't know if people like the Cubs. That's just the first name that popped in. I'm not a baseball guy. As my son says, that's professional catch. But anyway, so you would say, the Cubs are playing, Billy. I can't make it to church Sunday. Okay, are you prioritizing the Cubs over church? That's the question that you have to ask yourself, right? Are you choosing these things? In other words, are there other options, whether it's work or the park or the game or the whatever, are there other options that would allow you to worship with your family, but you're choosing this option? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. And maybe there's no other options. And again, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord for the technology that we have that allows us to go back. And if you are working or if you are out of town or whatever, you have the ability to go back through video, through YouTube and podcasts and all these things. And praise the Lord that you can stay connected digitally that way if there's no other option. But the real kind of way I'm pushing you this morning, and maybe uncomfortably pushing some of you, is, are you choosing something else in front of physical, in-person worship with the Lord? What is your choice? Because really, we can fill in the blank with anything that keeps us away from church. Man, I really just had a hard weekend. My mower was giving me fits yesterday, and it was rough, and I was talking to somebody last night. I just need a mental health day. So I'm just going to sit in bed and I'm just going to veg out, and, you know, maybe I'll turn worship on online. Am I choosing that? Or am I realizing the importance and the opportunity that I have to come together with my spiritual family and worship together? Am I placing that on the level of importance, or is that kind of if I have time? Last week, I started talking about a series. We started a series called Be the Church, right? I will be the church. That's our focus for these coming weeks here. And last week specifically, we talked about the attitudes of our heart, right? We focused on the attitudes of our heart when we come to worship. And this week we're going to continue that process. The whole idea here is, what is the attitude of your heart, okay? And we're going to continue this process as we look at the attitude of worship, as we look specifically at your attitude of worship. You see, for the Lord, everything comes down to your heart motivation. I don't care if it's giving to charity, giving to the church, serving the church, helping, you know, little person cross. I didn't want to say old lady because there's a couple of you here. But helping that person across the street, whatever. I know, and it's not, look, it's not y'all in the front. It's not, it's them behind you. That's who I'm talking. Okay, so just want to get myself out of trouble there. So it doesn't matter what it is. It's what is the motive of my heart? Am I doing something? I don't care if it's good or bad. Am I doing something because I want to glorify the Lord, or am I doing something to be able to check it off the list? Like, I've done this. Okay, now I'm good for the week. I'm really, really bad at lists. I've tried. There's an app called Wunderlist. I'm sure there's thousands of others, but I've tried to make lists in order to keep myself focused week to week. Now I have grown to the point that my wife is my list. So I have to tell her, hey, I'm done with that. And maybe she'll remind me of the other 15 things that I'm not done with. But the point is that when we do something, a lot of times, whether it's mental or physical, maybe you have a list on a piece of paper, or maybe you mentally are keeping, moms do this all the time, mentally keeping a list in your head of everything that's going on. And when you do something, okay, I can check that off my list. Is that your heart for worship? I can check it off the list? Or is my heart different? What's my heart motivation? When it comes to the Lord, everything comes to the heart. And last week we talked about something, and we said that God is not something to be checked off of a list. Let me repeat that, because I want to make sure that sinks in. God is not something to be checked off of a list. God is the one, the only one, that is beyond the list. God is the only one that supersedes the list. He's the only one, the only thing that is above every list we have in our lives. Amen? Is that a true statement? Do you guys agree with that? At least five of you agree, okay? Maybe we'll circle back around here, but God is the only thing. And that said, one thing that we talked about last week is that a right heart will be followed by right actions. If my heart is focused on the Lord, then the Lord will guide my actions, and my actions will be the actions that glorify Him. Okay? And so this morning, I'd like to talk about something, and again, this is maybe going to push somebody a little bit, and that's kind of my job. In-person worship is a right action. So right heart is followed by right actions, and in-person worship is one of those right actions. In-person worship. And there is something on the screen. Eventually it'll pop up there as soon as our tech phenomenal team wakes up. Okay, never mind. I lied. It's up there. Well, okay. Yes, it is up there. I know things. I promise sometimes. Anyway. Somebody else needs to wake up. Amen. Okay, so in order to understand these right actions, though, I think it's important to look at Scripture. Amen? Like, we always have to look at Scripture in order to verify, is this actually in Scripture, or is this just some goofball up there saying a bunch of words? So let's look at some Scripture. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And listen, I have preached on this before, but we're going to look at it again anyway. Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 42, and we are going to read through verse 47. And they devoted, this is talking about the fellowship of the believers, okay? This is talking about Christians. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread together in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Listen, this is a great passage, and like I said, I've preached on this before. If you want to hear kind of a more in-depth thought of this passage, you can go back to 2021. I think it was the Be the Church series in 2021 that we talked about this. But here's a recap. Let me just give you a super quick summary, a recap of what's going on here, okay? This book of Acts is actually not a book. It's actually a letter. Okay, and this letter was written by a man named Luke. He also wrote the book of Luke, the letter of Luke. Okay, and it was written to a guy named Theophilus. That doesn't really matter other than the fact that it's real. Okay, Luke wrote this letter to Theophilus, who was probably a Roman Christian. At least he was somebody that was interested in Jesus. He was a Roman guy interested and who Jesus was. He was interested in the church. And Luke wrote this so that Theophilus would know everything that he's heard was actually true. Okay, he wanted Theophilus to understand what was going on, right? And he wanted him to understand the reality of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and then the reality of the church, what the church was actually experiencing. He wanted them to know that. Now, why do I tell you that? That was a whole lot of boring information for you, and you're like, Billy, just get to the point. Here's why I told you that. Because it's important for you and I to know what we're reading, where it came from, right? It's important because somebody on TikTok or on Instagram or on Facebook or on a street corner is going to tell you that this is all fake and garbage and not real. And you need to know that this is real, and here's how we know it's real. It's real because there is a historical document written by a guy named Luke to a guy named Theophilus, and you can look it up and find all of that information. That's why it's important for you to understand that. Listen, we're told, as Christians, we're told to always be prepared to give a defense of the gospel. Always be prepared to know why you believe what you believe. That's why I told you that. Anyway, let's move on. One reason we believe Scripture is that, and this is just an extra little bonus information I forgot to tell you just now, but the 66 books and documents and letters and poems and all these things that we know of as the Bible were written over 1,500 years, and they all have a singular point. You don't get that with any other ancient literature. Doesn't exist. The Bible is the only thing that has that kind of credentials behind it. All right, so that's one reason why we believe Scripture. But with that being said, let's look at why I wanted to look at this passage today. Because in this passage, I believe we can see three heart attitudes, of worship within this passage. Three heart attitudes that I think we should have. We should emulate, right? We should do these things. Because remember, I told you that God is more concerned about your heart than he's concerned about your actions. And so we got to make the heart line up with God's heart first. Okay? I don't care if you show up to church every single Sunday morning. I don't care if you camp out in front of church every day of the week. It doesn't matter if your heart is not right with God. All right? And so we're going to look at that. What are the heart attitudes that we can see in this passage? When we read this, the first thing I believe that we see is a heart of devotion. It's said, right? It's just like the words are there. It's a heart of devotion. It's the easiest thing to see because the very first sentence reads, and they devoted themselves, right? So I'm just picking the easy fruit here, and I'm just kind of trying to point it out to us, because to have a heart of devotion, though, means that you are exclusively aligned with that, exclusively focused on that. To have a heart of devotion, to be devoted to something, means that that is your exclusive focus. Nothing else matters. The world can be on fire and it doesn't matter, because you are devoted to the Word of God. Okay, that's basically what they're starting with here. And so in this context, these people, they're saying that they're devoted to somebody. They're giving themselves exclusively to something. And we see that what they're devoted to is pretty important, because what they're devoted to is the teaching of the apostles. They're devoted to the teaching of the apostles. They're devoted to fellowship. That means you have to actually see each other sometimes, right? They're devoted to breaking of bread. Now, when they are devoted to breaking of bread, they're not talking about passing a communion plate. They're talking about having a meal, like a full-on meal. That's what they're talking about. And they're devoted to prayer. They devoted themselves to these practices. And this wasn't something that they just checked off a list to say, okay, this week I heard the teaching, this week I had the meal, this week I prayed, and this week I fellowshipped with them because we went fishing together, so technically that's fellowship. So, hey, I'm done. I can go do my own thing now. That's not what's happening. They're devoted. They're focused on these things, on being together as a church family. That's what's going on here. Now, I could spend some time, again, digging into these, because they're really, in this little section, there is so much packed in there. But let me encourage you, if you're interested in going further in that, I actually wrote it down here, September 26th, 2021, Acts Part 5. You can go back and watch that video, listen to that podcast, and you will enjoy what we're going into a little bit deeper than that. But for this morning, we've seen that they have a heart of devotion. That's their heart, that's their focus, that's their heart attitude. But we also see that they have a heart of joy. They have a heart of joy. Remember, this isn't some obligation that these men are just filling out. They're actually excited about what they're doing, right? They're truly joyful about doing what they're doing. And how do I know that? Because look at what they did, right? They did this daily. Listen, unless you're getting paid for something, you're not doing it every day, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. Unless there's some kind of a benefit, you're not going to go out of your way to do something every single day that you don't enjoy. So the fact that they did this daily tells us that they actually enjoyed it. They actually did it with joy, right? You know how else I know that they had a heart of joy? Because Scripture tells us so. Now look at this specifically, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." May the God of all hope fill you with joy. Listen, that's not going to happen. God is not a God to put something out there and then say, psych. So he's filling them with joy. The God of hope fills you with joy. You're going to have joy. And the God of hope is their only focus in this passage. There's another way that we can know that they're experiencing joy. Because they're focused on the reality of the resurrection. They're focused on the reality of the resurrection. You see, to these people, the risen Jesus was not just some abstract idea that happened 2,000 plus years ago. To these people, the risen Jesus was everything. Everything they did revolved around the fact that this really happened. Like, in their lifetime, they saw it. They saw Jesus before, Jesus is no longer there, and then they saw him after. This is real to them. Can we say that it's real to us? I mean, really, I'm not talking about, are you a Christian? I'm saying, can you say that you wake up every morning realizing the reality of the fact that Jesus was born, that Jesus humbled himself to become man, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for you, and then rose again? Are you waking up every day realizing that? Because that's what these men and women did. Is the reality of the resurrection a reality for you? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe some days it is and some days it isn't. What I'm encouraging you to do is to say that every day is a gift because of the reality of the resurrection. Why wouldn't we be excited about that? Why wouldn't we be encouraged about that? Now, let me just, this is a little freebie, a little bonus that I don't have in my notes, but can you expect to have the reality of the resurrection, something to excite you, if you never open your Bible during the week? If all you do is come and listen to me drone on for an hour and a half every week, are you ever going to care about the reality of the resurrection? Maybe when you're here, you'll feel a little bit convicted and you'll be like, man, I really need to focus on Jesus a little bit more. And then you leave the doors and then you completely forget because life takes over and you don't open your Bible the rest of the week. That's not being devoted, is it? So we're talking about the early church here. We're talking about these Christians that actually were focused so much on Christ. And the reality that they don't have to face the torment of hell because of Jesus. That's why they're there. That's why they're attending daily. That's why they're focused daily. That's why they have a heart of joy, because they actually have something to be excited for, right? Like, I see a lot of non-excitement going on right now. And let me just encourage you to be a little bit excited about the resurrection. Like, that's why we get to be here. That's an amazing gift that we have. Now listen to what Tom Rainer says. I love this quote. He says, they were not going to attend a worship experience. They were going to experience God in worship. So those are two very different things, right? I can show up and I can say, I'm going to attend a worship experience for an hour. Or I can show up and I can say, I get to be with God worshiping with other people. That's the difference of what they did versus maybe what some of us do sometimes. And listen, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm guilty of that sometimes. Right? There have definitely been days that I have shown up in church and been like, all right, well, I'm not talking about here because you guys are awesome. But previously, there have been times that I would show up in church and I'd be like, all right, here we go again. But listen, Jesus actually died for you. Jesus actually came back for you. And Jesus actually ascended to heaven to build for you a house. Amen. Amen. And if we don't live like that's a reality, then we're not going to have any joy. We're going to be pretty miserable. And if we do that coming into the house of God, if we come into the house of God with no joy, are we not being offensive to Him? Imagine if you invited a guest to your house and that guest came in grumpy. You kind of want to kick them out, right? Like, just shut your face and leave my house. Well, we're invited into the house of the Lord. Let's come in excited. Let's be excited about what we get to do here. It's a little bit different for some of us, though, because some of us are just kind of trying to get through the week. We've got everything on our head. We've got marital strife. We've got financial strife. We've got relational strife at my job. I've got my car that's broken down. I've got my family overseas that's somewhere and I'm worried about them. I've got family in the military and are they going to get called to war? I've got all kinds of stuff, right, that we can look at and we can say, I have all of these distractions in my life. But who's the one, the only one, that can help with any of those distractions? Because if I'm looking everywhere else and I'm not looking to the Lord, then I will never find that joy. If I'm not devoted to the Lord and to His word, I will never have joy. That's how we know that they had a heart of joy, because they were focused on the Lord. So they're displaying a heart of devotion. They're displaying a heart of joy. And without a doubt, they have a heart of humility. As they're joining together, they have a heart of humility. And this is really important attitude for us as a group of believers to think about. What does a heart of humility look like for me? What does a heart of humility look like in my group of believers, in my spiritual family? What does it look like to have a heart of humility? See, a heart of humility says that everyone else is better off than me. Everyone else is more important than me. That they're going to put everyone else in front of themselves. They didn't attend the temple. Listen, some of you are going to yell at me later, and that's okay. I put earbuds in. They didn't attend the temple to complain about the chairs or to complain about the parking lot or to complain about the lobby or to complain about paint colors or to complain about the music or to complain about the TV or to complain about anything else. They didn't attend worship to complain. They attended worship to worship. And I got to say, sometimes, not you, but maybe your neighbor, has maybe attended a little bit to complain about something. I'm not talking about you, but the person sitting next to you, maybe. Listen, here's the reality. Here's the thing. They were so focused on worshiping the Lord. I mean, so focused on worshiping the Lord. And they were so focused on lifting each other up when each other needed to be lifted up. Did you catch what they did? It says they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all who had need. Listen, they found out somebody needed something, they sold off whatever they had in order to provide for that person because they actually cared about each other. Now, I will say this is an area I believe that as a church, you guys have shown up here like big time. I have never seen in any other church the caring that goes on between the brothers and sisters here in this church. When there is a need, you guys show up. Praise the Lord for that. That is so awesome. But are we showing up just with our checkbook, or are we showing up with ourselves? Because that's, again, that's a little bit different, isn't it? If someone is willing to sell their belongings in order to give you what they need, they probably don't care if you sat in their seat, right? They're probably going to be eager to say, hey, no, you sit there, man. You need it. Praise the Lord. They're not going to be upset if your perfume offends them or your cologne is too strong, right? Because they care about you. They want to see you do better. They believe that what you have and what you need is far more important than what they need. That's the humility that these early Christians had for each other. They weren't there to put their preferences above everyone else's. They were there to worship in humility before God and together with other people. They were there to worship in humility before God and with others. What I really love about the book of Acts, and if you haven't read the book of Acts, let me just encourage you to do that because you will read some amazing things. But what I really love about the book of Acts is that we get to see the reality of the early Christians. They did not live in a perfect little bubble, right? Like we think that we have it a hard time sometimes in the culture that we live in today, but man, they had it rough. And we get to read about the really comfortable buildings that they built, and they had, you know, air conditioning, and they would seat like 2,000 to 4,000 people, and they would have amazing bands, and they had these fantastic TVs. Like, that's what we get to read about with the early church, right? They were like 100 people shoved in the upstairs closet worshiping together. Just let that sink in for a second. Like, they were sneaking around finding a place to just worship together because it was so important. Maybe they would be out in the field hiding out with the cows, or maybe they'd be out with the sheep, or many times they would fit in the upstairs of a wealthy person that had a large upstairs. They would worship together in that. Now imagine the average upstairs of one of these fancy houses in Jerusalem would probably fit about 100 to 125 people for a worship experience, okay, for a Bible study. Now, imagine what happened on Pentecost when there were 3,000 people added to the church. What did they have to do? They didn't go multi-site, like they didn't video stream somebody. They had to go into various places. They found whatever they had to do in order to worship because it was actually important. Here's what they did, though. Because they were not content to meet once a week for services as usual. They were not content to just live life as normal. They met daily. They cared for each other daily. They won souls for the Lord. In other words, they were telling others daily. They searched the scriptures. They didn't just open and read whatever was in front of them. They searched, dug into the scriptures daily, which caused them to rise in number daily. This wasn't an occasional, if I feel like going to church. This was a daily event that they were so focused. They were so devoted to this. This is how important it was to them. Their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once-a-week routine. And that's because the risen Christ was a reality to them. His resurrection power was at work within them. Now, as we close out this morning, I want to ask you something. We're gonna move to a time of communion in a moment, and we're going to have the opportunity to have the elders come up, and the elders are going to serve you, and it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for communion. But I want to ask you a question, and I want to ask if you're willing, if you're prepared to make a commitment to the Lord. But are you willing to make this commitment for real? In other words, listen, I'm going to ask everybody to make a commitment, but I only want you to make a commitment if you're actually ready to make a commitment to the Lord. That means if you're not ready to make a commitment to the Lord, if you're saying, man, I'm almost there, but I'm just not quite ready to say I'm all in. I'm a Christian. Like, I have a relationship with the Lord, but Billy, you know, you can't take away my golf on the occasional Sunday morning. You can't take away my, you know, summertime camping hiatus. You can't talk about taking this stuff away. Only make the commitment if you're actually willing to make the commitment. This series is called I Will Be the Church. I will be the church. Because I want to ask you to make a commitment to attend together regularly. I want to ask you to make attending church a commitment. To say, I will do this and I will put this above everything else because my priority is the Lord first and everything else can come below that. So I want to ask you to make this commitment to the Lord. Listen, here's what I'm going to ask you to say. I will attend worship services. Like, I will do it. I'm going to do it. I don't really think that's enough. Because that's just an action. So what about this? I will attend worship services with an attitude of worship. I will attend worship services with an attitude of worship. Not with an attitude of, Billy, you better hurry up. I've got something in the crock pot at home. And if you do, why aren't you sharing? We have leftovers on Sunday. I'm just throwing that out there. Are you attending with an attitude of, I get to worship the Lord today? Or is it, I have to be there today? Those are very different, aren't they? The reality is, if you claim to have a heart of worship, yet rarely attend corporate worship, I'm not sure you have a heart of worship. Right? Like, I'm just saying the hard thing here. And I know it can be hard when everything else is coming at you. Listen, I've been there. I know it can be hard when everything is competing for your time and you've got work yelling at you and you've got family yelling at you and you've got finances yelling at you and you've got house responsibilities, you've got to mow the lawn, you've got to fix the car, you've got to whatever. I understand and I know what it's like when everything is competing for your attention. But here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you to see what happens if you change your priorities. See what happens. Try it out. To put worship in front of everything else and just see what the Lord does. See what the Lord does with all of the other realities, all of the other stuff that's trying to get your attention. See what happens when you focus on making church and church attendance a priority. Because when we neglect church, anything and everything becomes an excuse to skip, doesn't it? Work is offering overtime. There's movies. There's a park. It's beautiful outside. There's a concert. There's a game. There's a fill in the blank with whatever it is. See what happens when you begin to make everything else a lower priority in your life than worship. And not worship alone. Worship with other believers. Church attendance together with your spiritual family. See what happens when you begin to say, this is a priority in my life. See what happens when everything else starts to kind of work out. I believe that happens. But here's the key. Church is not a requirement that you have. It's not a responsibility that you must keep. When you walk in the doors of church, you walk in with an attitude of worship. What do I get to see God do today? Am I allowing God to touch my heart today? Am I allowing God to direct my family today? Or am I just rushing in to get something done? And listen, volunteers, I'm speaking to you here for a second, okay? I love you guys so much that volunteer and do so many things, but I don't want you to volunteer if you're coming in because you have to do something. You're coming in because you get to worship the God who created everything. That's why we get to come together. So see how life works when you begin to elevate worshiping Him together with others on a weekly basis. This morning we're going to close out. We're going to close out. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to move into a time of communion, and then we're going to end with worship, and then we have a special treat after worship at the end here. But we're going to close out with the thought that I want to ask you to put in your mind. And the question is, the thought, the question, the challenge, where is worship on your priority list? Where is worship on your priority list? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are and for what you do, Lord. You are everything. God, we have nothing without you. Lord, we have nothing without your risen Son. God, the pit that you have pulled each one of us out of, how can we not be devoted to you? To worship you, to focus on you and you alone. God, we thank you. We love you. And we lay our burdens, we lay our worries, we lay our stress at your feet. And we choose to spend time with you before anything else. Let's pray. I did pray. Amen. Sometimes my brain doesn't work.